Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Picture at Los Angeles 2024.
Welcome to Out on the Lanai, the only Golden Girls podcast you're ever going to need to listen to. I am H. Allen Scott / Sadie Pines.
That was beautiful. That was beautifully drawn out.
Thank you.
I am Carrie Doherty, and today we have something very special for you all. We have put together a golden compilation of B. Arthur's wildest talk show moments.
Can I say where this this was inspired by? Because I suggested this one, and I was
yes, of course.
So last, and it's also a plug too. So last week on the Rusty Anka Happy Hour, we did a clip from the Rosie O'Donnell show featuring Bea Arthur. Was that last week? They all blend together for me.
I think
it was last week.
It was last week.
It just got me thinking. I was like, I love talk shows. Oh my God, I love. The amount of times I watch old talk show interviews from way back in the day, from recently, from all the things. I just love talk show interviews and celebrity talk show interviews. And so it got me thinking. I was like, well, the girls did so many of these.
So many of them are iconic too.
Like, especially like Betty White with The Tonight Show. I mean, so many of them are iconic. And so I was like, we could do one episode where we just like, you know, do our favorites from like all the girls, but they did so many that it's like you kind of have to do each girl in her own episode to really go over the best of moments of talk show appearances. And it probably is a part one too. I mean, this isn't, but like there might be another one because there's so many more Bea Arthurs out there. Bea Arthur interviews.
I know. Well, I figured, you know, because we did do her Television Academy interview, which was very serious and sincere and really a deep dive into her career. So for this one, I feel like we kind of wanted to go like, what are the batshit crazy talk show segments that she's been on? Mm-hmm. And we were lucky enough to find quite a few. And so I'm very excited to talk about those. But before we get into it, today in the GG VIP Club, if you are a member, you are getting an all new Rusty Anka Happy Hour where we break down the recent Emmy Awards and just sort of talk about award season in general. And then we're going to watch Bea, Betty, Rue, and Estelle's speeches when they themselves won Emmys for the Golden Girls back in the 80s. And the speeches are so lovely. I absolutely love them.
They were.
They were so great. If you haven't yet joined the GG VIP Club, you can sign up at patreon.com/Golden Girls Podcast. And if you subscribe to either of our paid tiers, it's either $5 a month or $8 a month, you get tons of extra bonus content. And you're also supporting the two of us and all of the hard work that we do, which we greatly, greatly appreciate and have appreciated all of your support over the years. And again, you can sign up at patreon.com/Golden Girls Podcast.
And what's cool about it is because we post videos of the main podcast and Rusty Anka Happy Hour, and it's just lots of videos, you get to see lots of us. So like over the years, I feel like you only saw our animated faces, you know what I mean, on the logo and stuff. So now you get to see us regularly, which I mean might be frightening, but it's enjoyable.
I remember, I think when we posted our very first video episode, it was somebody who stumbled upon our Patreon and had said, wow, you are younger than I thought you were. And I was like, oh, that's, and then he followed up by asking us for like what our skincare routines were and all that stuff. And that was lovely because I remember back when, I mean, when I first started listening to podcasts way back in the day, and I would also wonder, I'm like, what do these people look like? Yeah. I hear their voices constantly.
Well, it's like people on the radio. Like when it's like, well, last week on the radio, on this, we talked about maybe on the Main, or they're all blending together again.
It was on the Main. It was on the Main. Remember when?
On the radio, like when you see people who are like radio voices and then you see them in real life, oftentimes it's a disappointment, I gotta say. Because radio, people do not prepare. They don't prepare their faces or like they are not camera ready, but like we in fact are camera ready. We're camera ready people. So if you see us IRL, you can be like, oh yeah, you're camera ready.
You are very, very camera ready. Well, let's see. We're a couple minutes in here. Do you want to start diving into these or do you want to catch up for a couple of minutes?
I say let's do a little catch up. I mean, it's the new year. Let's give them a little bit of a taste of how the Rusty Anka happy hour goes and give a little bit of a life to do, if you will. You're currently with your in-laws, which I love right now. It's very I need to say something that you texted
Please.
Me. So You texted me, I think it was this morning or yesterday. I don't know the days. But that you watched last night, you watched Saltburn with effectively your parents. And then tonight you wanted to record this early so that you could watch Gone Girl with your parents.
That is correct.
I think while both are great films and I enjoyed both of them, they are not something that I would want to watch with my mother.
Well, let me tell you something. Okay, I'm not going to give... If you haven't seen Saltburn, I'm not going to give any major spoilers, but...
They all know about the dick. They all know about the dick. Everyone knows about the dick.
Maybe just fast forward like a minute. I'm not going to give any big spoilers. It's just the thing that everybody's talking about. So I didn't know anything about this movie. I don't know how. I haven't been going on. I go on social media to like post our stuff, but I didn't know anything about this movie. I just knew everybody had been talking about it.
Oh, girl, they are talking.
And
I have the bathtub candle. The bathtub water candle.
Oh, so I don't know what that.
In the film.
I know
where
what
somebody
the scene
licks,
is.
And they sold Jacob Ellardy's bathtub water scented candle. And I have it.
That's like the Gwyneth's vagina candle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you get it?
I mean, it's like in a box. It's in a PR box somewhere, but I do have
it. Oh, well. Okay. Well, then show it to me offline.
Yeah.
So I have to tell you, knowing nothing about this movie, I was sitting at the kitchen table with my mother-in-law the other night, this tiny little Italian woman from New Jersey. She's the best. I love her so much.
How tiny is she?
She's not even 5 feet tall.
I love it. I'm obsessed.
Yes. She's got like Linda Belcher vibes. Yeah. I love her so much.
This is fully Sophia watching naughty movies, by the way. Sorry.
This is fully Sophia watching naughty movies.
Yes.
She goes, Carrie, have you seen Saltburn yet? And I was like, no. And she goes, I got to show you. There is this scene. It's the most artistic thing I've ever seen. It's beautiful. I just got to show it to you. And I'm like, okay. And she starts playing it. And I'm like, oh, this is like a cool song. And then, oh my God.
Yeah.
And we're just watching it. She, when she was home with her husband, it was on the TV and she stood up in her little bathrobe and held her phone up and recorded that scene off the TV. And it now lives on her phone and her camera roll.
That woman
and she
is
showed
my
this to me.
Kind of woman.
I got unsolicited dong from my mother-in-law. I had no idea. And I was oh, wait. And then she went, okay. Isn't it beautiful? Wait, hold on. This is the best part. And then, so we watched the movie last night. We had a blast. Every once in a while, she'd go like, he's about to do something weird here. And then today, we're just kind of hanging out and I hear the song and I know, and she's watching it on her phone again. I was like, I love her so much. She's
that,
so fun.
That is a woman.
She's the best.
She is a person after my own heart because that is exactly what I would do. And I'm also the person who, when people come over to the apartment or anything, we're talking about Saltburn, I'm like, oh, well, you got to see the dick. You got to see the nude scene. You got to see it. Let's watch it. Let's go. It's a great song, too. And I've been listening to the song on a loop, too. I didn't record it with my phone because I have the screener DVD thingy. But and it's on Amazon. You can watch it on Amazon Prime now. But I did make a joke at a show. Oh, my God. It's so inappropriate. Where because Barry... Keegan. I don't know how to say his last name.
You're thinking of Andrew Keegan?
No, Barry, the guy who plays the lead in the film, it's something with a K.
Is it Keo?
I don't know. People hate us right now. But that
people
guy.
People do hate us. I'm very much apologized.
That guy. He's the Sophia of Saltburn. He's very tiny and he's very sort of like, you know, like witty. And I made a joke being like, it's always the little ones that surprise you in that department. XYZ. Dot, dot, dot. You get what I'm saying. And it became this ongoing joke at the show that every tiny guy who stood up became the conversation about, what are we talking about? How's it going? What's happening? And it just became an ongoing theme. So I'm just saying, tiny dudes out there, any tiny dude listening, you have a power that this film gave you that you need to harness and use in your life. I'm just saying.
Tiny happy people holding hands. I don't know. I was just was trying to make something.
No, but I love that Stan's mom has that on her phone. I need you. I need you.
And then his dad recorded him, recorded her recording it off the TV.
I love this couple.
She's standing up there holding her phone.
I need them to
TV.
Know after this recording, you need to tell them how much I love them. For that moment and that moment alone.
I will. Yeah. And I
but then Gone Girl tonight. Gone Girl's also very inappropriate.
Not really. I mean, first of all, my mother-in-law and I both love true crime, but she has seen it, but she forgets the plot of the movie because she started asking me questions and I was like, oh, you don't actually know. You gotta rewatch
it. Well, there's
this.
Neil Patrick Harris peen in that one. So like, you know.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, well, and then it's par for the course.
It's disturbing peen, but it's peen.
Yeah. I didn't remember that there was peen. Yeah. But it was because we were watching, you know, Rosamund Pike. She was
She's so good. She's so good.
And I said, oh, well, we got to watch Gone Girl. And then I said, you also have to watch Promising Young Woman because it's, you know, Emerald.
She did another one for Netflix. She won a Golden Globe for it for Netflix like last year or 2 years ago. I forget what it's called. But it's with Diane Wiest, and she is so good in it. Mm. And she plays, Rosamund plays a woman who cons elderly people out of their savings by putting them in a home and, like, doing crazy things. And she's very evil. But she gets, like, conned, basically, again, by Diane Wiest. And it's just such a good, good, good movie. I definitely recommend, I don't know, I forget what it's called, but it was an enjoyable two-hour watch. She is such a good actress.
She likes, like, revenge movies, doesn't she?
Well, like, she in an interview she was like, people seem to think that, but then she also has like a whole career of like playing biopics and like doing other non-crazy you know. But there is also, speaking of Gone Girl, it just came out today because I got an email about it, this American Nightmare or whatever on Netflix is about the real life Gone Girl, not the one the movie's based on, but like a Gone Girl type story. And I'm dying. I was like, oh, I'm going to put that on this afternoon. And then I remembered we were recording earlier and I was like, ah, I got to wait.
Can you just do it? Gah, I got to wait.
Gah, I got to. You know how many times I do that about life? Like last night, for example, I had to had a car situation to deal with. But then I forgot that I said I was going to meet up with Elliot at Bob's Big Boy Diner in Burbank or something. Mm-hmm. And so then I was like, I got the car, I got home and I was like, God, I forgot I told Elliot. And so then I dropped Michael off and I just had to keep going.
Keep on going.
Keep on going. Yeah.
I went to Burbank yesterday. I took little Oreo to some horse stables. Yeah.
That sounds like a Rosen Island activity.
Yeah. And she, we walked by, you know, you can't like pet the horses or people's horses, but she just kind of waved to all of them.
Oh, that's nice. That was Does she like horses? Yeah. Is she a horse girl?
I mean, she likes animals in general. She likes playing with animals.
That's cute. I love that.
Yeah. Horses, it feels like we're starting to get a little bit of a lull in the conversation. I wonder if we should. I'm like, are we just killing time right now?
No,
I feel like
not
I'm
at
just
all.
Waiting for our clock to hit 15 minutes.
Oh, no, we're
why
fine.
Don't we take,
we're fine. Let's take a break
Why don't
and come
we take
back.
A little break and come back? I really want to watch these talk show moments because they are gold.
I am so excited for that.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman,
and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
So this whole wild Bea Arthur talk show moments idea, I know it started sort of with her on the Rosie O'Donnell show, but the idea of them being wild talk show moments came with the first one that we're going to play, which was Bea's appearance on So Graham Norton, which was pre the Graham Norton show. This was a show that he had in 1998 to 2002. Yeah.
It is the same show. It just, they changed the title, the name of the show. He's consecutively been doing it.
Sure, sure. Yeah. But the title was So Graham Norton. Everything about this segment is bonkers in
Are you a Graham Norton watcher?
So I know who Graham Norton is. I don't know how many clips of the show I've seen, but I'm aware of the show.
Graham Norton is one of the best, and he's had, I don't know how many Golden Girls he's had on, but he is the best celebrity interviewer, the best celebrity talk show that exists in the world. I'm going to say it. I watch his clips endlessly of countless both US and British celebrities. And he, what's so great about old Graham Norton from the So Graham Norton days is that
he's very hot, by the way. I find him very attractive.
He is very attractive. Yes, he is very attractive. I find him attractive too. But he, what's so interesting about him, he used to have like a bunch of Barbies on the table behind him, and it would just be Barbie heads and stuff, and that would be how he decorated. And he does a lot of things with audience interactions, and he gets the celebrities interacting with the audience. And there's a whole chair bit now on the show where someone comes in and tells a story, and if the celebrities and him don't like the story, he pulls a lever and the chair flies back. And like, he does, I mean, it is such a fun show, and you can watch it here on BBC America when he does it. They air it next day here. So he is, and there was a brief moment where they tried to have him have a show in the US, but it didn't really fly on US television in that way. But on YouTube, just watch Graham Norton clips, and the Bea Arthur one is it's just priceless, because he's a homosexual who loves these women, and he will have them, and he seats celebrities in like the, because oftentimes it's a group seating. With Bea, it was solo for the most part, but because they're in the other segments, there are other people, but in the one we're watching, it's just her. But he'll seat them, like all the celebrities on a couch together, so that everyone is just sort of chatting, and he'll seat in accordance of who he loves, basically. So it's like, you know, in a situation of like, if Tom Hanks was on with Bea Arthur and let's say like George Clooney, it would go Bea Arthur, Tom Hanks, George Clooney. George Clooney's at the end of the couch in that situation. Like, that's, he's just the best.
I had so much fun watching this. I watched it so many times. It reminded me of, do you remember when like MTV had weird late night shows like Oddities, the Jenny McCarthy show, where the hosts were just like, fuck it, this seems fun and weird, let's do it. And like the Chris Gethard show is sort of like the closest thing that I can sort of think of that's more contemporary. Mm-hmm. Bea is there. She doesn't seem to be there to promote anything.
No.
He introduces her. She is escorted. I also don't know if this is a usual thing. She's escorted down the stairs by like two Chippendales models while the Golden Girls theme song plays.
So it used to be a regular thing where he would have the celebrity guest introduce the show with some random audience person as well, sort of very Rosie O'Donnell. And they're contemporaries too, because So Graham, this is from the Rosie O'Donnell days back in the late 90s. So, yeah.
Well, that I loved. In true Bea Arthur fashion, she comes down from the audience barefoot and she's like, I left my shoes and hair and makeup.
Yeah.
She, which, again, so be Arthur. And she sits down and he said, you know, oh, I thought you were going to be dressed like a clown or something. I wasn't sure. And she said, well, I've been told this show is very tasteless.
Yeah. And
she says it very lovingly.
I mean, we're not playing this clip, but like there's a whole segment of like literally Graham getting on the internet and talking about websites as if they're the most new thing in the world.
Yes. Oh, we're going to talk about it. I know we don't have the clip. But what he does first, so first Graham brings up the number one talking point that annoys hardcore Golden Girls fans, but it was probably less known in the year 2000, so I'm going to give him a pass. But he says to her, is it true that Estelle Getty was younger than you? And then he shows B a photo of the four women to sort of illustrate how close they all were in age. And it's a photo you've all seen. It's where they're all dressed in gold. Yeah. They're holding that giant Mercedes hubcap. It was from the Night of 100 Stars, you know, for No Coward, presented by Mercedes. It aired on NBC in like 1990 or whatever. It's on YouTube. Let me ask you, because don't tip it, because we're going to play the clip. What did you think B's reaction was going to be seeing that photo?
Well, I mean, what did I
think? Of them all dressed in gold.
I think she probably would have made fun of herself. Like, I mean, that's what I would think, that she's going to make fun of herself. You know what I mean? Because it is, I mean, clearly it's an 80s photo. It looks like an 80s photo. And it's tacky.
Well, her genuine reaction made me laugh so hard to this photo. Let's play that moment.
Is this Estelle? Is that Estelle at the end?
Yes, let me see that.
No, isn't it mad? Where the hell? No. Why are they giving you a hubcap as a prize?
What is that? They're all female impersonators.
No. Are they really not you?
Well, I don't know. Let me
see.
Actually,
it doesn't look very like you.
That's not me. No, wait. No, it is me. It is us. That's us. No, truly. I warned you when I arrived, I was, you know, the long trip and everything, and Graham very lovingly took us out to dinner. I said, I know I look terrible, but let me get a good night's sleep and I'll end up looking exactly like Danny LaRue. Where did you find that?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Would you destroy it?
Okay, fair enough.
Would you destroy it?
You think you're confused? Take a look at our horn section. I love that B was like, those are impersonators. That's not us. Mm-hmm. Like those are Madame Tussauds wax figures. Those aren't us. And she goes, oh, that is us.
I love that she does have a playful use of the truth. You know what I mean? Like, and she doesn't, yeah. I mean, I feel like she does it a lot where she just like throws in little fibs that she probably doesn't even know is a little fib. She's just sort of being funny and cute. And it's just like a little fib. I love it. I love it.
It's this whole interview. This whole thing is so playful. She's clearly having a great time.
Yeah.
So then Graham asks B to tell a joke that I'm assuming she told him at dinner the night before. I don't want to say anything else. I just want to say, maybe if you're listening, if you have small children nearby,
yes.
Put in some AirPods or be ready to answer what might possibly be an uncomfortable question. Let's
tell me a joke the other night. I'd love you to tell it again. The Estelle Getty joke.
You want me to tell that joke?
Oh, please.
All right, don't tell Estelle. Why is walking a high wire like getting oral sex from Estelle Getty?
I don't know.
Whatever happens, don't look down.
I mean, one of the things I love, I just recently was telling are my friend Naomi, who you met at the live show, who, if anyone who came to the live show, you saw Naomi squirt me during my number with the spray bottle. I was telling Naomi about a funny joke about a video about Rue McClanahan and Betty White on the couch. It's gone viral many times, and Rue's telling a dirty joke to Betty White about a man who's stuck on an island with a pig and a dog, and he wants to have sex with the dog, I think. And because he's so desperate, because he's been there for so long. And then finally one day, this beautiful blonde shows up and he's like, oh, thank God, will you hold down this dog? because he's been the dog's been avoiding sex with them, and they're dying of laughter. So what I love about this is that I think it's clear they loved dirty jokes. They loved,
I mean,
dirty.
It was
jokes.
A very dirty Dickie Hertz joke, if yes. you ask me.
So dirty, but I love it. If we are ever at a party, either Carrie and I or anyone listening to this podcast, and you ever see me and you want to come up and you want to whisper something filthy in my ear, a funny joke, please, you have full permission.
Yes, you are. I mean, I also, you tell me a dirty joke too.
Yeah.
I like a good dirty joke.
We're naughty people.
We're naughty people. I also, I love that B says that to Graham. She goes, you are very naughty. She's having such a blast with him.
Yeah.
So like you were saying earlier, so then Graham goes on, it's a very like 2000, yeah. one of those like blue apples.
What's
computers.
A website?
It's so great. He shows B a Golden Girls fan site and he reads some message that people have written on this message board and they're really fun.
Yeah.
And I also love that this show sort of would organically go down these rabbit holes because there's a guy who says, like, I love B. Arthur, love the Golden Girls, check out my website. And they go down this rabbit hole where he's like, we clicked on this dude's website, and it's like this pedal pushers kink site. It has nothing to do with the Golden Girls.
Yeah.
It's people who get off from pushing pedals, like, in a car. And which, if that's your thing, no shame.
No
that's
shame.
Awesome.
No shame.
But it's great. They end up calling him. He's this American guy. And him and B are having a conversation. And it's the direction that the segment goes in is incredible. We will link to all of these interviews in the show notes if you want to watch them. I will say, if you're going to watch one, if you only have time to watch one, watch this one.
Yeah,
because
the
it
first
is
one, part one.
It's so fun and just different. This is not what you get on The View, on
no.
you know, on Jimmy Fallon.
It's something that I love, especially to our UK
it's
listeners.
So fun.
I mean, and our UK listeners are probably very much excited that we're talking about Graham Norton. And we have quite a few UK listeners. So hello, UK.
They have the best talk shows.
They do have
they
the
really,
best.
Really
I mean,
do.
I am a, what is it called? An Anglophile. Like I am one of those people that I do love British entertainment, British culture and just British literature. And there's just like so many elements of sort of British life that I do very much enjoy. But I will say as even just a young person obsessed with comedy, there was something about British talk shows and comedy that like Absolutely Fabulous and Mr. Bean and like Fawlty Towers and like there's so many elements of British comedy that's just like a part of my identity. And I feel like in a weird way, and we know that too from a upcoming clip that we're going to play, but that B. Arthur also was a bit of an Anglophile, and she loved, and she's in the Gay Times TV clip, not the one we're showing, but she does talk about how much she loves the UK and how much she loves visiting there and stuff. So like there is a love between B. Arthur in the UK, and that kind of makes me feel proud about my little love of the UK.
You are practically B. Arthur. Well, let's move on to the next one, which comes from Dame Edna's Hollywood in 1991.
Another great UK.
You talk about this clip a lot.
Yep.
I want to know what it is that you love about this clip so much.
Okay, so first off, I need to say about Dame Edna. So I will up front say the legacy of Dame Edna is a complicated legacy, especially in her end of her life, or his life, I should say, because he was very much conservative when it came to trans issues and LGBTQ issues, and he was a complicated figure. But Dame Edna was a huge influence on me in my comedy. And Dame Edna was this Australian sort of housewife who became this sort of jet-setting, celebrity-loving, royal best friend sort of person. And it was this character that this actor created. And in the U.S.
Barry Humphries,
mm-hmm. yes. And in the U.S., who passed away, I think, last year. And in the U.S., for a short time, Dame Edna had a talk show, like a primetime talk show. I think it was on ABC. And maybe, I don't know. But Dame Edna got massive celebrities to come on this talk show that the set was her mansion. It was very much Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. She flew in on a helicopter at the beginning of the show. And she walked down this grand staircase and then sat on her couch with the celebrities and all these things. And it just was so fun. And as a kid, especially a queer kid, watching this, being obsessed with these celebrities and obsessed with the glitter and the rhinestones and all of the things, I was just like, it was just heaven. It was heaven for me. And the fact that Cher, was on this couch in her red hair era. So like sort of early 90s. And she was in her red hair era. And I loved Cher. And that she and that B. Arthur was there. And B. Arthur had this fucking dog that would not hold still. But B. Arthur never once got angry, put the dog down, handed the dog off to anyone. B. Arthur did the entire segment with this dog freaking out. And I was just like, A, that's a true animal lover. And B, this is everything I need. This is the chaos. This is perfect.
So before we play the clip, I will set it up a little bit. So like you said, Cher was on. I guess she was going to be performing later in the show. And again, I don't believe B's not promoting anything. B drops by to say hi while pretending to be Dame Edna's dog groomer. Yeah. And so she comes in with the dog to sort of give Dame Edna an update on what's going on. And that's and then B. Arthur and Cher end up talking and chatting and Dame Edna gets jealous.
I will say before I even play the clip, you had me cut off the clip a little bit before Dame Edna's punchline. And I had
oh,
to
please.
Keep, I had yes. to keep Dame Edna's punchline in out of respect. So I'm going to put this.
Been doing for Fergie?
Well, she's in fine form. She's just had her aqua therapy in the flotation tank, and she's had a little acupuncture, you know, for that terrible flea problem.
Acupuncture for fleas? Yeah. How Californian!
Right.
Incidentally, do you know Cher? She's a singer.
B.
Mrs. B, she does a bit of
Edna,
acting.
Edna, Cher and I are old friends.
Oh,
how are you?
I'm lovely.
I have not seen you in so long.
I know.
Have you been on the road? Or
I have. I was in England and I was in Germany and Spain.
I
and
spoke
I was working.
To your manager at one time.
Right.
I forget what he said. Have you ever played Cleveland?
No, I've actually
no,
never played Cleveland.
I love what you're doing.
Thank you
I
so much.
I love it. I love the whole.
Thank you.
I love the whole bit. But you look fabulous.
Thank you.
Gosh, it's been a long time.
It's been really a long time.
Really,
since we saw each other.
Long time, yeah. But it's nice seeing you.
Thank
again.
You.
Let's
nice
get
you.
Together,
folks. Right.
So let's do lunch.
Okay. I love it. I love
very,
it.
Very
I'd love
strange.
It. You know
yeah,
what?
Like
when are you going to start
too.
The Golden Girls again?
August 5th again.
And I really.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Now, I need to explain this a little bit because it's so interesting listening to just the audio of it. So, and it also shows how great of a performer B. Arthur is. So, you know, so the whole bit was. B and Cher are catching up and it's just those two talking and Dame as the host and as the person who is, they are her guests, she's very angry that they're getting along and talking and taking away attention from her. And so then she breaks whatever's in front of her to get the attention back on her. But listening to just the audio, which we all just did, and listening to B essentially, because you know her prompt from the director backstage or writer or whoever did it was probably like just small talk,
mm-hmm.
just riff small.
Yeah.
And no one's going to hear it because the audience is going to be laughing because no one's going to be listening like we're listening. So like just small talk and to listen it to the small talk that B directed that small talk. B went from like have you ever played Cleveland? Like where did that come from? You know what I mean? Like shit like that, that I'm just like, oh my God, you give B a background note to then just make small talk and she will make amazing small talk.
I did enjoy the small talk. I also really liked when Dame Edna was like, you know, do you know Cher? This is B. She does a little bit of acting.
I love your Dame Edna voice.
Thank you. Yeah. I also thought it was really fun to see Cher and B sitting on a couch together, knowing that B had just done the Golden Girls episode where she's dressed up as Cher, which we know was mm-hmm. B's favorite moment
yeah.
on the Golden Girls
her
entire time.
I also wonder if B. Arthur ever did either the Sonny and Cher show or the Cher show. I bet you there probably was overlap there because I believe they were the same network. I think they were both CBS. And yeah, so I bet there's a moment in which Cher and B. Arthur, you know, paths crossed in the 70s.
Oh, surely. I mean,
yeah.
you could look that up right now if you want. I can move us on to Gaytime TV. So I know we've already shown this clip before in a previous episode, but I had to include it today. Because again, it like I love this interview so much. So Gaytime TV was a late night gay themed comedy program on the BBC Two from 1995 to 1999 in the UK. Let's see. Oh, this interview, I love because they're not on a set with an audience. B and the host are literally outside in a park, mm-hmm. having a picnic,
and
they're
I
walking
feel like
around.
This was around the same time as Graham Norton, too.
I don't have the date written down, but I feel like her hair looks pretty similar. I feel like that's the only way I can really try to date this is by B's hair.
Mm-hmm.
Were you able to find anything about...
No, there's nothing. I mean, there's no real... I mean, the only time... There's a joke that she made on her special about wanting to dress like Cher, but that's about it. So no, I have nothing. But I'm sure their paths crossed, probably at the Emmys or something.
I feel like they would have done some kind of performance together in an awards show. Should we play a little bit of
Be
Arthur on Gay Time TV?
Hugely popular with gay people. I mean, in this country, we would have like Golden Girls nights in gay pubs and bars. I mean, why was it so popular with gay people, do you think?
I may be very pro-gay, but I think they have the greatest taste and the greatest wit, aside from being fabulous hairdressers and everything else. And I don't think you can show crap, you'll pardon the expression, to gays. I think they're above it and then beyond it. And
so it was our innate good taste,
exactly,
which made it
exactly.
popular.
You know, I posted this clip, a longer version of this clip on my Instagram a long time ago now, last year sometime. And
can you hear this sound? Can you hear this banging?
No, can't hear
it. It's my husband pounding out chicken downstairs.
Well, maybe he's getting ready for a family Saltburn, something murder on the dance floor dance off.
We all have to have bellies full of poultry in order to watch cock on the television in an uncomfortable manner.
This episode is going to be rated explicit.
It is
going to
be so rated R. I'm sorry. You posted this clip on Instagram. If anybody hears the pounding.
No one will.
Stan pounding chicken downstairs. I texted. I said, what is that noise?
It's me pounding
my
chicken.
I'm pounding chicken for dinner.
It would have been better.
This is what happens when we record early in the day.
If he said he was pounding his chicken instead of pounding chicken, because that would have been fun.
Well, I think the exact words were pounding chicken RN for right now, because he also probably had like chicken hands.
Oh, yeah, true. So that was probably a Siri text. No, I posted this clip.
Took it down to Mississippi. Go ahead. I apologize.
I posted this clip, and it's so interesting because we all know the internet is a cesspool of idiots. No one listening to this podcast, of course. But
no.
I would suggest, if you want to take a trip down the dark side of the internet, go look at the comments on that video. I think I have it pinned on my Instagram profile, because it is people are so unhinged about, like, they don't like that she says that she minimizes gay people to hairdressers, which I understand that, but you have to understand the times and her age and everything else, but also too that she is giving a fantastic compliment to queer people. And at the time, the word queer was not used in the way that it is today. So when she said gay, she was pretty much talking about the entire community here, people. So it is really wild how I'm just gonna say how stupid people are. And I love that she said it. And I love, one of the things that I love about Bea Arthur in interviews like this and with Graham Norton and with Dame Edna, she really does light up around queer people. There is something about being in the presence of a community she probably feels very close to, that and that welcomed her and didn't make fun of her and loved her for being unique and different and not the norm, that I think she really always felt that she had to give back to that community and sit in a field of grass with the sun beating down on her for an outlet called Gay Time TV. And she was like, yeah, I'll do that. Hold on. Hold the phone, Katie Couric. I have to do this interview.
Yeah. And remember, too, when Bea Arthur passed away, she left so much money to the Ali Forney Center.
Yep.
So you know, she was having a wonderful time. And I think being very respectful. I love that after they were sort of sitting picnicking in the park, they're walking around on the streets. Mm. I don't know where they are. Were they in London?
They're in London. They are in London. I don't know where in London.
And they're
saying
hi to all the boys. Like it was really sweet. And then I think at the end she gets into a car
and she does the kiss thing.
They give her the newspaper.
You're lovely. You're lovely. And then she does the thing where she like kisses, but it doesn't, there's no actual kiss. And she holds out the back of her hand to be kissed.
Yes.
Which, I mean, Sadie's doing that from now on. We need to take a little break. So while we do that, if you're watching this on Patreon, I'm going to hold the back of my hand to the camera and you guys can kiss it. Okay. So we'll be right back.
Okay. You want me to kiss it?
Yeah. There we go. Oh my God. You can see my age spots.
I did my best.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we are back with more of Bea Arthur's wildest talk show appearances. This show, I think I may have found the name of it, but I wasn't 100% sure. So I'm just going to call it some Dutch TV show. Mm-hmm. And if my Dutch friend Wes is listening, Wes, I would love for you to tell me the actual name of this show. This is a show hosted by two gentlemen mm-hmm. who...
It's so weird.
Uncomfortably sandwich B on a couch for the duration of the interview. One of them is dripping wet because the prior segment somehow involved him in a wetsuit getting wet. And when B comes out, she sort of drapes a towel on him. They all sit on the couch. Mm-hmm. What did you think about this energy in this interview? Was B having a good time?
Oh, I do think she was having a good time because I think... Again, I think this goes back to B's theater days of and sort of the relaxed nature of sort of backstage theater, that B is really comfortable in weird situations. And B's a chill lady who wants to take her shoes off, sit on a nice couch, have a glass of wine or probably some vodka drink, and like just calm down and not have to put on makeup or do anything for anyone else and just sit and relax and be funny. And you can tell that she thrives in that space. And in this space, even though the couch, watching these two dudes, because they are very much dudes, on the couch, I don't believe either of them is queer. And they're just sitting behind, and she is having this moment where, like, I mean, this is in the clip, but they're talking about plastic surgery or something, and she's grabbing their hands and sort of touching their faces, and she's very warm, and she's very sort of like, you know, open to receiving this energy that they're giving her. And she fits oddly right in. Like, it's sort of, it's strange, but it's lovely.
I just wanted to swoop in like Mr. Terrific and just get her out of there. I was like, B, I do think she did sing a song at the end. I didn't pull a moment. Maybe I should have pulled a moment about from the singing, but she did sing a song about the end, about divorce, which I thought was really nice. So I also feel like B, even if I think I kind of agree with you that she was having fun, but even if she wasn't, I feel like at the end of that segment, she did get to stand up and sing a song in front of a live audience, which that's sort of where she shines.
Yeah.
But I do want to play a couple of clips from this. I just want to call it like this aggressive harassment of Bea Arthur, but I know it's not. It's just, I don't know. They were just sitting so close. So they ask about her departure from the Golden Girls. And I think in this answer, Bea, for the first time, I think that I've heard really kind of reveals how she thought that her leaving was devastating to the other women, where I think maybe in past interviews, she would say, like, you know, oh, they've always been supportive. And, you know, it all kind of felt like time, you know, they, but this is the first time I think she actually shares that it was very hard for Betty and Rue and Estelle.
I think I may have pulled only one clip from this. So let's play this clip and see, because I'm looking at the numbers and I don't think I did the right thing. Oops, my God, my bad,
okay,
guys.
Well, if it's not this clip, then it's one of the guys giving her a hard time for still wanting to work at her age.
No,
and he can't wrap his brain around why she hasn't retired. Okay, it's not that one.
Oh,
okay.
It was
wonderful, wonderful, and so rewarding. A lot of fun, a lot of fun.
But when you stopped, it wasn't so much fun for the other girls because they were a bit depressed after you left, right?
I know.
They tried again, and what happened?
I know. It didn't quite work.
No.
No.
It Are didn't. You still friends?
Oh, sure.
But now the truth?
The truth is.
Yes.
No, that's the truth. But the truth is, I really couldn't wait. I think they were upset that I quit when I did. But I think 7 years is a long time.
You know, when she said 7 years is a long time, I had a moment where I was like, we've been doing this 10.
I know.
It doesn't feel like long. It doesn't feel that long.
No, but the time commitment.
Yes. And it's a lot of, she's doing much work, much more work than we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, so, okay. So that's the only clip we have for this one.
Yes.
Okay. So
this one was a hard one to pull because of like, it was weird. There was weird audio issues.
There's everything about this one is weird. Yeah. So afterwards, they're giving her a hard time about not wanting to retire because they say,
do you think it's a language thing? That it just sounds like they're giving her a hard time because they seem like I got that from a lot of things they were saying.
I mean, you know, they're saying, you know, you're basically I remember they said you're at a memorable age. They keep saying memorable age. Mm-hmm. You know, why do you want to keep working? And B says, you know, I think with a lot of creative people, they never retire. They just kind of go on and on and on until they die, I guess, is what she says. And that is sort of what she did. You know, she was still performing very, very late in her life. And
she had a Broadway show.
Yeah. And, you know, and this is exactly what the Golden Girls was about, is women at a, quote, of a memorable age who weren't just going to sit at home knitting and eating their Werther's originals out of their little candy jars and visiting with their grandkids.
I do love a Werther's. I had
sugar-free Werther's in my pregnancy bag to go to the hospital because I
Wouldn't
guess you're not supposed to have
gas?
Sugar.
Oh, really? You're not supposed to have sugar?
Yeah, you're not supposed to have sugar, I guess.
Oh, interesting. Because those always made me very gassy.
Oh, the sugar-free ones?
Yeah. Because I think the aspartame or something that's in it.
Oh, is it aspartame?
There's like a fake sugar.
I shouldn't have been having aspartame.
There's like a fake sugar in it. That's what makes it sweet and desirable.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yes, this interview ends. You know, they've asked B if she's had plastic surgery, and she's very open about it. She's like, yeah, I think I had like my eyes done. And then the guy's like, should I get plastic surgery? She's like, I don't know. Should you? You tell me. Do you think you need it? Why does my opinion matter?
I just love how it just made me think of like how B. Arthur would be in a bar, you know, if two random people sat between her. Like, that's what this felt. And they wanted to really talk to B. Arthur. And she was just like, well, I'm comfortable and I got a drink. So let's talk. Sure. Go. You know, like that's what it felt like.
And then she sings a song about divorce, and that's kind of it. But you should watch the whole.
It's
maybe
weird.
Watch this one too. It's just weird,
it's weird.
I don't know. I feel bad because maybe we're gonna get a listener from the Netherlands who's like, no, these guys are actually wonderful and they're whatever. And
I'm sure they are wonderful, but I mean, if you are listening from the Netherlands, I've been to your part of the world and I've done things in your part of the world, and I can arguably say. You'll have an interesting sense of party and humor and lots of things. You do weird things, and that's fine. That's why I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun. But if anyone would have been filming me, it would have been weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Weird things. Weird parties. I even did a stand-up show there once.
You did?
Yeah, I did. And I forget exactly where, but it was like part of like a college tour thing I was doing. And someone did like a penis trick thing where they turned this is a very much a penis episode, but they turned their penis into a hamburger.
Wait.
They took their two, this, it was very strange. They took their testicles and they essentially twisted them up like a hamburger bun, one on top, one below. And then they took their penis and they sort of bent it back as if that was the meat. And so if you push, you didn't gently squeeze together because, you know, sensitive, gently squeeze together. But from the front, it looks like a hamburger.
I just want to take a moment to apologize to our Patreon members of the GG VIP Club who had to hear me tell a similar story when we did our yearbook cringe,
oh, yes,
Rusty Anchor Happy Hour. And I talked about Gil's muffin, which was similar to the hamburger. So to all of those listening, I'm so sorry that we keep talking about the way people in our lives have manipulated their genitals to look like food.
This was not a person in my life. This was a stranger in a foreign country. And I quickly went to another foreign country after that.
Okay. So just people in general doing those things. Okay. We're going to move on to our last talk show bit. So this is from the Arsenio Hall show in 1988.
Ooh, 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 ooh. I had to.
Yes, you did. You did it.
I saw the anger in your face, though, when I did it.
No, it wasn't anger. It wasn't anger. It wasn't anger. It just felt like a joke on SNL in 1988 that I just witnessed. So what you saw was my body traveling back in time like 30 something years and then returning very quickly. So this interview isn't wild, but it is interesting. And I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole because of it. And I want to say it's like potentially a little scandalous.
Oh.
But this interview actually gives us the backstory to the season 4 Golden Girls episode, Brother, Can You Spare That Jacket? So let's play the clip and then I'll sort of tell you the rabbit hole I went down about this this interview.
You honestly, I don't, I really don't do or do talk shows unless I really have something that I'm promoting or something that I feel is very important. Yeah. And I'm here now to talk about the prime time to end hunger, which is next week.
Now, all the networks are involved in that, right?
Yes.
Tell us about a little bit about
it. I don't know that much about it, except I believe it was Ted Danson and somebody else's name. Approached all three networks and suggested that during the week that there be a single week devoted to shows concerning the homeless and the hungry to raise consciousness and to promote volunteerism. And so that our show the night of the 16th, which is our Christmas show, is going to be devoted to a show about feeding the homeless.
Love that.
So one thing I did think was I actually like chuckled out loud for a second where she's like, you know, I only do these when there's something I really care about and I'm here to talk about this. And he's like, well, tell us about it. She goes, well, I don't know that much about it. I was like, oh, B. But so I ended up, I was like, oh, that's interesting. I don't know. If we've looked into it, I don't recall it, but I didn't realize or remember that Brother, Can You Spare That Jacket was a sort of week-long initiative by all of the big networks that had these television shows. So the project, it was basically, it wasn't a fundraising thing. I ended up reading this LA Times article, but basically at the episode itself would have a storyline that was something about, you know, helping people within your community, you know, volunteering. And then viewers would be invited to dial a 1-900 number at the end of the episode to sort of learn more and get, you know, an informational, you know, booklet, whatever. On CBS, Designing Women covered this. There was an episode where Delta Burke's character, Suzanne Sugarbaker, she returns to her high school reunion she's ridiculed because she's gained weight.
That was a very famous episode.
And it points out that worrying about one's weight is a luxury in a world where people are starving to death each day. This was from the LA Times article. Other shows were CBS's Jake and the Fat Man, NBC's Cheers, ABC's Head of the Class, and 30-something. And I guess the whole Prime Time to End Hunger was sort of kicked off with this press conference at the White House with President Bush at the time and the executives of the three networks kind of talking about this. And because it had this sort of tie-in to the Bush administration, not all of the shows wanted to be involved, or they kind of wanted to distance themselves, which was really interesting. So The Cosby Show didn't participate, and there were rumors that it was that The Bill Cosby Show didn't support the Bush administration, which, like, he's a piece of shit. Yeah. So, and then there were also shows that were kind of distancing themselves, where they were like, the shows, you know, had something where characters would get involved with this volunteer effort, but they're like, well, we were planning on doing that anyway. So it just kind of worked out. And then one of the EPs of 30-something was like very vocal about, he said, I fear anyone using TV to their own ends. Propaganda is propaganda, whether it's right wing, left wing, or middle of the road. So this was all, just very interesting to me.
Well, it's interesting that like people would have that reaction in that, I mean, it was essentially started, right, by Ted. It was an idea from Ted Danson, who is famously...
Well, that's what B is saying.
Yeah, but, well, if it is, then Ted Danson is famously one of the most liberal people in Hollywood. And then on top of that, Designing Women, Linda Bloodworth Thompson, is, like, best friends with Bill Clinton, who, around this time, was probably planning to run for president against President Bush. So I feel like a lot of it is, like, people, you know, posturing a little bit. But.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's hard to tell because I feel like so. But I did hear that. So like Tony Thomas, Paul Witt, Susan Harris, they were all like, yeah, we're all about it. Like we're so happy to do it, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, there were some of these showrunners and executive producers, whether they just felt forced to do something and they didn't like
weird.
That necessarily.
But it's like Stand Up to Cancer Now in that, like, you know, there's a cause that networks get on board for and do certain things for, and or any, you know, you think about Katrina and you think about, and then all the networks participate, and it's like, well, it's not necessarily propaganda. It's just doing something good for people.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that I agree with their stance.
Yeah.
I just thought it was interesting, that,
yeah,
that I didn't realize it was such a thing. The 30-something executive producer went on to say that TV has not been particularly effective in advancing causes anyway. Quote, he said, "It's my pet theory that television has had a liberal agenda for 15 years, but it has had no effect. We elected George Bush in spite of TV's liberal agenda. Television is not a very good instrument for social change." Again, I just thought that was all very,
you know what, that dude needs to go to, and I'm going to respond to him now, 40 years later. But you know what that dude needs to listen to? He needs to go back and listen to last week's episode of the Rusty Anchor Happy Hour, where we talked about Mr. Norman Lear and the impact that sometimes a political agenda can have through art and creativity and television. So
I'm clapping for Norman Lear.
I'm just saying that you can be funny and you can also have an agenda behind it, that it doesn't matter because it's all part of the art and you can't separate the two. So boo, boo, boo.
I totally agree. I mean, look at 72 Hours. That was such an impactful episode.
Yeah.
People see themselves in these characters. They relate to these characters. And when they are introduced to a subject matter that they may not know about, that may make them feel uncomfortable, now when it's coming through the lens of these TV characters who they feel they know and trust, it's different.
Yeah, it is. It is. Totally. Totally.
So, yeah. So those were sort of the, again, I only pulled that one because it was,
but
Arsenio Hall, that sort of rabbit hole I went down.
I mean, that he had guests. That was fun.
Oh, yeah.
That
we didn't even talk about Arsenio Hall. Yeah, oh. That was a really fun show.
That was me. If anyone too young listening doesn't know, that's what people did at the I don't know how that started. Very strange. It's very much like the Tim Allen, the, you know, like that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Very strange.
Or everybody chanting Jerry for Jerry Springer. Nobody had ever chanted a talk show host's name like that before.
Yeah.
Oprah.
Oprah. That's what I would do. Oprah. Ricky.
I know.
I think Ricky. People did Ricky. People did do that.
Jenny. Jenny. Oh, that's not too Jenny close Jones. To Jerry.
No, not Jenny Jones. Don't go there. Don't go there.
I mean, oh, we're going to. How about you and I talk about that one Jenny Jones episode on a future Rusty Anchor Happy Hour?
I have and there's so much on it, too. So fascinating. Fascinating story.
You guys know which one we're talking about.
Just Google.com. Google.com. Just do like Jenny Jones that episode. You'll find it.
So before we get into our golden takeaways, I am dying to know if you all out there listening, if you have a favorite B. Arthur talk show moment, what is it? Send it to us.
Yeah.
Post it on your socials and tag us and we'll repost it because there are obviously so many great talk show moments. I'm sure we didn't find them all. We wanted to find the wildest
Shore.
Ones.
There's Dinah Shore, Rosie O'Donnell ones, of course. There's like mm-hmm. The View. I think one of her final appearances was on The View mm-hmm. and she... unfortunately, I don't think could see very well. So she was being, but Rosie was there to help her. I mean, so many great, I have so many great moments of talk show ones. So I'll post about it.
Yes, yes. And you all send us your favorites too. And let's take another little break and come back with some golden takeaways.
Breaky poo. And we are back with our golden takeaways. A nugget of truth or inspiration that you can apply to your life or the lives of our listeners. Yo, Carrie, what? What's your golden takeaway? I just made that a musical.
I like this. Yeah.
You got something else?
Hey, Carrie.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Carrie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Golden takeaway.
I'm dancing like Don Wiener in Welcome to the Dollhouse. Who's watching me on the who's watching me on the video right now?
Yeah, get it, girl.
Heather Matarazzo. I am obsessed with her as an actor. I think she's fantastic.
Well. I am as well.
We should get her on the podcast.
We follow each other. We've met before. I'll DM her.
DM her. Yeah. I would love to have her on the podcast. If she's a Golden Girls fan. If not, that's totally fine. My golden takeaway is I want more weird-ass late-night cable talk shows. Mm-hmm. I want more. Bring back oddities. Bring that stuff back. I want it. And if it exists and I'm missing it, tell me about it. Tell me where to go. Yeah. I do watch a lot of long-form video essays on YouTube, and those can be quite weird and bizarre. But I want that late night talk show cable-y feeling. So
I feel that.
Bring them back. But if they are back and I'm just not aware, just please send them my way.
Yeah.
What's your golden
I love
takeaway?
That. I'm going to add in related but unrelated, but more women and people of color need to be late night talk show hosts. There are too many dudes in that game. Too many white dudes in that game. That needs to change a little bit, but that's just a soapbox moment. My golden takeaway from this episode is, if you see a stool, particularly a stool that has the ability to swivel, you know, back and forth, and if you then sit on that stool and pretend that you are either a talk show guest and or host, you're my people. You're my people. If you can't pass a stool and not think of being on a talk show or a particularly comfortable chair, my good friend, we've been at her house this past week, and off and on this past week, and she has a fantastic chair that makes you feel like you're on a talk show because it goes back and forth. It looks very inviting. It makes you look thin. I firmly believe that a chair needs to be wide enough for a person like me, who's a fairly larger person, to then look smaller in. And that is a talk show chair. And if you then sit in that chair and pretend you are a talk show host or a guest on a talk show, you are my people.
Do you realize you said if you pass a stool?
Yeah. And see, that would have been a talk show moment.
You meant if you pass by a stool.
Like if you pass, if you pass a stool, I mean, that sentence still works. If you pass a stool mm-hmm. and you see
stool
it and
boom.
And you're like, oh, I need to sit in that stool. That sounds gross now. Now we're going down a gross territory because of how you made it.
Talk about your squatty potty.
No,
we're talking about
love,
dicks and poop and oh my gosh.
I do love my squatty potty. That's it.
Well, everyone, if you're still there listening, this has been another episode.
Is anyone
of,
there?
This has been another episode. We're Jodie Foster in
I'm interviewing
Contact,
her
calling
week.
Out into the abyss
next week,
about
I'm talking
True Detective.
With her. Yes, I am.
All right, everybody, let HL and Scott/Sadie Pines know, what do you want them to ask Jodie Foster?
I mean, I've talked with her before. We've talked about Sons of the Lambs and Contact. That was a big one.
Great. Well, that's what I was thinking of. Jodie Foster just calling out into the abyss.
They should have sent a poet. Chicka pay in the wind, skew in the belly. Miss May.
Wait, this is turning into this is what you get with the Rusty Anchor.
You know that's Nell, right? Nell is so good.
Yes, I remember.
Well, look, gone away. Sorry, I can't. I'll stop.
Oh boy, everyone, thank you so much for listening. And if you do want to become a part of the GG VIP club, you can sign up for free at patreon.com/GoldenGirlsPodcast. And then if you want, take a look around and you can upgrade to some of the other tiers to get even more bonus content.
Part of
and HL and Scott, what is our podcast a part of?
Part of me was going to try to do this in the Nell voice, but I'm not going to. Guys, we are a part of Mom Moguls and Media. So go subscribe to Mom Plus because they do fantastic things. And you can follow us on social media at Golden Girls Pod on Twitter, Out on the Lanai Official on Instagram, Golden Girls Pod on Facebook, and I am Nell.
And I am Squidzy on Instagram and Squid Eat Squid on Twitter. And if you have a moment and you do want to support the podcast, in addition to joining the GG VIP Club, you can go to wherever you get this podcast, leave us a rating, leave us a review. It'll only take a moment and it would mean so, so much to us. And it will help other people discover our podcast and join our lovely kick-ass community of Golden Girls Slut Puppies.
New year, new us. Leave us a little rating and review. We need a new fresh rating. I'm doing Nell impersonations, and this is all for free. Guys, remember,
as always,
stay golden.
Stay golden and stay on the rails.
Out on the Lanai is not endorsed by Whit Thomas Harris Productions, Touchstone Television, Disney, or any of its subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only.
All names, pictures, audio, and video clips of the Golden Girls are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and/or copyright holders.